Music from the Brass Messengers. You can hear them tonight over at the 331 Club. Go early, 3 to 5, and you can hear Corpse Reviver. Also, Red Thread, Friday night over at the Cedar Cultural Center. And the Hagedorn Shank Trio at it's Arts on Lefron, but it's the Zion Community Commons over at 1697 Lefron in St. Paul. That about does it for me. Thanks for listening. The time is 10 o'clock. You are listening to KFAI, 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. Stay tuned. Coming up next is The Wave Project.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/waveproject. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
It has its ups and downs. A wave is an idea, not stuff. It needs continual input to propagate.
Tell me more.
Today, December 7th, on KFAI 90.3, we have Servitocracy, the Next Form of Government. Why it's necessary, the form it can best take, and a way to bring it about.
Some voices you hear are from the past, some the future, and are distorted by the space-time continuum. You'll have to listen closely.
I'm Pam Hill, the engineer for today, and I'd introduce them, but they prefer to be anonymous and asked to start the talk with a song by Kate Wolf. So here's Kate.
Kind friends all gathered round, something I would say, that what brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle that holds us all inside, where strangers are as family and loneliness can't hide.
A kind friend.
Are we live?
We were when we recorded it.
A news flash. They just caught someone climbing the fence at the White House.
What happened?
The Secret Service tackled him and said, "Donald, you can't leave. You still have 3 years to go."
A kind friend, D, pointed the way to KFAI. Pam oriented me, while Mike and Bree cleared the path. I'm grateful to them and to you for being here this morning. You're being invited to dance with the idea of government. Others, too, are invited to sway along. Years back, when I canoed, I could feel a male ancestor canoeing alongside me on the left, taking joy in the flow. Over time, I came to feel my patrilinear line trailing along through the mist of time behind me. I still feel them, and I revel with them. More recently, my daughter, then in Portland, called as she walked home from work at 11 p.m. I could feel her beside me long after the calls ended. Over time, I could feel my matrilinear line on the right, flowing and murmuring along behind me. I feel them still, and I walk encouraged. Connected to ancestors, a tendril grew until I could feel faintly the pulsing of future generations.
Past and future are here now in our flesh, blood, and bones. Feel them. Hear them. They will speak.
We have a bit less than an hour to explain why a new form of government is necessary, the form it could best take, how to bring it about, and have some time for questions and comments. Let's dive in and ride the wave of story. On December 7th, 1941, also a Sunday, a wave of 353 Japanese dive bombers attacked the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, killing 2,400 Americans, mostly soldiers, and the country entered World War II. On another day in that war, 140,000 Japanese, mostly civilians, 23,000 children, were killed in Hiroshima by an atomic bomb, ironically called Little Boy, carried by a U.S. single plane, incidentally, the first response of the Japanese military to the atom bomb was not to surrender, but to gather their scientists together to ask how long before Japan could produce an atom bomb. And that was just another day in a war that killed 60 to 80 million people. Just another war, conducted mostly by men, going back to 35,000 BC, as best we can tell. We're good at war. We're good at what we practice. Homo sapien brains are wired to perceive threats and are highly aggressive. Combine that with the ability to cooperate and innovate, and you have an apex predator. There are 20 branches, more or less, on our family tree, all now extinct but Homo sapiens. Us. Lastlings, that's the name given for the last of a species. Lastlings.
Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. My blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating.
handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me.
Managed by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, is a symbol of how close we last leaked are to destroying the world we live in with our technology. It rests at 80 seconds before midnight.
Whether you believe we climbed down from trees or came up from Eden, we're on the eve of destruction. The good news is the clock is paused, and in that space, we have the ability to choose a response. In that breathing space, let's have some questions or comments.
Will I have a chance to be in Rock the Green Hills of Earth?
We're working on it, future. We're working on it. You are the living gift we send to a time that we will never see. We have a comment from Matthew 24, who claims to be the past, present, and the future. Matthew says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be not troubled, for the end is not yet." No, Matthew, not the end yet. But we're 89 seconds from oblivion and calling it close. And one last question from another caller. How did we get here? Once, we were ruled by one form of tyranny or another, usually dominant males, quick to react to threats, quick to violence, and quick to take control. Born free, we were everywhere in chains. Monarchies, theocracies, oligarchies, etc., etc. The list is long, and tyranny was the norm. The strong did what they will, and the weak did what they must. In the 1700s, the idea that just power derives from the consent of the governed acted like a bolt of lightning, igniting the American Revolution and creating the first, and at the time, the only federal constitutional republic.
I'm a Dakota ancestor. I gave no consent.
I'm a woman. I gave no consent.
I am a Mandinga ancestor. I gave no consent.
Yep, you're all right. In hindsight, it's clear the U.S. Constitution was written by and for white men, binding marginalized people and future generations.
But many marginalized people were inspired by the idea of consent of the governed.
So much so that the thunderclap from that idea rumbled on till today 149 of 193 countries claim to be republics, claim to represent the people. In the language of the founders,
It was to be a government of laws, not men.
The hypocrisy of that claim borders on the delusional. Laws made of and by and for men, backed by the barrel of a gun, are not consent.
It's true. The founders, stumbling with lanterns in their place and time, as I'm stumbling in mine, had a limited field of vision. The Constitution never mentions democracy, never mentions political parties or lobbyists, and yet political parties and lobbyists join with the wealthy to form and shape public policy through electoral politics, resulting in the best government money can buy.
A buck or a pound is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money. If you happen to be rich and you feel like a nice entertainment, you can stay for gay escapades. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring ting-a-ling for the mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover and you moan and you groan quite a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht.
What? The 2024 election cost $16 billion. The presidential election alone costs $5 billion. Political parties and politicians who know which side their bread is buttered on stress our differences, manufacture discontent, turn us against one another, and fracture our bonds of affection. Politicians and well-funded political parties, in a blizzard of ads and waving flags, drive us like sheep to the polls, prod us to do our civic duty while trumpeting elections are democracy in action. And us, shaped into noisy but docile consumers, are herded onto an election treadmill every 2, 4, 6 years. We're given participation stickers and usher ourselves out while those hungry for power usher themselves in. And who is it we elect to rule and safeguard the public good? Well, the same forceful, aggressive, ambitious type that have always sought control, invented war, and all forms of government we've had thus far. Men who proclaim, "I am the way, I see the threats, and I see the truth." Men like me. And here I invoke an ancestor. And the ancestor I invoke is Max Born, who once said, "The notion that there is one truth and that one self is in possession of it is perhaps the root of all the evil in the world."
What does that mean?
It means
we each must take responsibility of coming to know the wolf within, or risk becoming the lamb that devours the rest of the flock.
Representative government, having failed to take this responsibility, is the most insidious and destructive form of tyranny yet devised. We were hoodwinked and fooled ourselves into believing we govern ourselves when we are clearly ruled by an invisible sleight of hand. Technology develops more rapidly under representative government, and that technology, in the hands of an apex predator, has brought us to the brink of extinction. Our republic has conducted over 400 military operations in our 238 years of existence. We maintain 750 military bases in 80 countries. Again, we're good at what we practice. We've created a national debt of $36 trillion. We commit and allow catastrophic environmental damage. We ensure extreme wealth to a few, ignoring the common good. But most damning of all, it created a nation of consumers that loves things and uses people, rather than a community that loves people and uses things with care. Groomed by and for vulture politicians and vulture capitalists, we stand vulnerable before the dark birds of history.
In those years, people will say we lost track of the meaning of we, of you. We found ourselves reduced to I, and the whole thing became silly, ironic, terrible. We were trying to live a personal life, and yes, that was the only kind of life we could bear witness to. But the great dark birds of history screamed and plunged into our personal weather. They were headed somewhere else, but their beaks and pinions drove along the shore through the rags of fog where we stood saying, I.
In 2023, the Surgeon General reported an epidemic of loneliness that affected 50% of American adults. Rabindranath Tagore summarizes this isolation plaintively.
He who I enclose with this name is crying in this dungeon.
The future asks, how did that happen? I can tell you. Liberty was confused with freedom, reading Adam Smith, because it was in their interest to do so. It justified and made heroic their predatory instincts, letting loose the dark birds of history. They went forth and subjugated nature, everyone and everything, claiming it was for the greatest good. The future asks, and the past replies. Simply put, each pursuing their own interests creates the greatest good for all, enshrining greed in the economic sphere. The future asks, how did that confuse liberty and freedom? And the past answers. Freedom is release from restraints with little reflection and no responsibility. Liberty is action within a connected whole, choice within a shared framework in which there is accepted responsibility. It was laissez-faire from there on out. And in that laissez-faire, the commons was lost. And there was a push to privatize not only public land, but public parks, public unions, public radio, public libraries, public discourse. They're all under attack now. Try to find a public restroom in Minneapolis. The public good is being assaulted by invisible hands out to make a profit. The Constitution has been mentioned earlier because, and I found this astounding, 94% of those polled in 2024 agreed with the Constitution, flawed as it is, 94%. They resonate and vibrate and feel connected in a shared vision by a written, visible hand that declares,
we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
With 50% of Americans feeling isolated, there's a longing to be connected, to be we, the people. How does I become we? When neighbors and strangers were asked,
in disasters,
in emergencies,
in clubs,
in sports,
in the NRA,
in God,
in theater,
in volunteer work,
in religion,
in gangs,
in cliques,
in political parties,
in a cause,
in a marriage,
in friendships,
in community action,
in patriotism,
in war,
in birth,
in death,
in dance.
I'm glad they mentioned dance.
At the outset of the story, you were invited to dance with the idea of a new form of government, servitocracy, which has difficult steps and unfamiliar rhythms. But words are as shallow as time, and singing and dance as deep as infinity. So we're going to dance here at the station to a song sung by neighbors. For us, it's a familiar tune, so we're going to sing along and dance, and our ancestors and the future, and you are invited to join us.
If you're in need of food resources, Hennepin County is here to help. Food shelves near you are ready with fresh, nutritious food. SNAP remains open. You can continue applying for benefits. If you are expecting or have children ages 0 to 5, WIC can provide even more support. Get connected to free or low-cost food resources near you at hennepin.us/food-help.
Heck, that was fun. How come you didn't dance? Well, that's just one of the ways on the list. You have your way, I have mine. As far as one and only way, it does not exist.
Thanks for the reminder. My sons won't dance. Are you surprised by any items on that list?
Yes, I was really surprised that people put birth and death as a way to go from I to we. What stunned me, though, was what was not on the list: work. In the U.S., we spend 1/3 of our life working. Nobody mentioned it.
Maybe the sample size is too small.
Could be. Work for me was a stepping stone to get what I needed or wanted. It was a means to an end, until I found my niche. And when I found that, I was home. My guess is work is home for many people, especially the self-employed.
Cut to the chase. I don't want to hear the labor pains. I just want to see the baby.
I've worked in a delivery room. Unless there are labor pains, there will be no baby.
I'd just like to go back to work for 1 second, though. You know, I said, when I found my niche, my space, my place, I somehow got off the hedonic treadmill. You know the feeling, do you? And that space also includes, I've come to be a patriotic biophiliac. It's a perspective up for scrutiny. Share comments, suggestions, at Servitocracy on Substack. Patriotism, by one definition, is love of one's birthplace. The earth is our birthplace, and our loyalty needs to be to institution representing that reality. And biophilia has to do with love of life, the health of the environment, which is the wealth of the community. Tagore shines a light.
I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I woke and saw that life was service. I acted and saw that service was joy.
Our next form of government, servitocracy, is premised on patriotism and biophilia by embedding it in our Constitution through amendment. servitocracy ordains. Public office is open to all who have performed 2 or 3 years of non-mandatory service. Servitocracy proposes successful service enables one to be eligible for a lottery, from which all state and federal officials are selected, not by elections. Servitocracy says such service to be compensated by a GI Bill type of rights. Medical, dental, school grants, home loans, and the like, and a guaranteed basic income for life. Why servitocracy? Well, it puts the fate of the people in their own hands. It keeps power away from those who seek it, which leads to war and an economy that kills the planet. It encourages each generation to govern itself, working together for the common good. It broadens perspective, fosters empathy, develops character, minimizes the influence of political parties, wealth, and personality, and it will look like us. Servitocracy is based on a passionate love for life in all its myriad forms, most wonderful. Servitocracy recognizing love is a profound human achievement, requiring courage, patience, humility, faith, and discipline. Servitocracy recognizes the rights of nature and human rights are fundamental and entwined. Servitocracy recognizes that where codified, adjudicated, and enforceable law exists, the obscenity of war is outlawed. For example, Minnesota does not launch cruise missiles at North Dakota if a group of thugs from Fargo kill revelers at a festival in Minneapolis. Individuals responsible for crimes are held to account. Servitocracy, therefore, supports a world federation to develop codified, adjudicated, and enforceable international law, upon which time the U.S. will turn over 100% of its weapons of mass destruction, remove all military bases from other countries, renounce the use of war, and we invite other people to do the same. And how will we be known?
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now, it is time now. Turning, we shall learn to lead in love. This great turning, we shall learn to lead in love.
Thousands of amendments have passed on the state level in response to changing conditions and shifting values. Few amendments have succeeded on the federal level, which has become an evolutionary bottleneck. Reform of state constitutions have a high probability of success. Protests, a form of dance, are fertile conditions for connection and conception. But we must go through the labor necessary to produce amendments that reflect our values and these times. Consider the idea of a servitocracy and commit to the labor. I becomes we when I choose and I commit to that decision. To live and go on living, we need a vision for the future. We must do the labor to bring it into being.
You must give yourself to love. Love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. I've walked these mountains in the rain. I've learned to love the wind. I've been up before the sunrise to watch the day begin. I always knew I'd find you, though I never did know how. But like sunshine on a cloudy day, you stand before me now. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. It's planted like a seed. Love can't give you everything, but it gives you what you need. And love comes when you are ready. Love comes when you're afraid. It will be your greatest teacher, the best friend you have made. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love.
Let servitocracy be the lightning and amendments the thunderclap. To the heroes who serve and labor at KFAI so that many wave, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's.
Liberty? The future here. Will you go over the difference again between freedom and liberty?
Ah, future. Ancestors smile and nod. The present labors. Come, come see for yourself.
We are the rising sun. We are the change. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are dawning. We are the rising sun. We are the change. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are dawning. We are the rising sun. We are the change. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are dawning. We are the rising sun. We are the change. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are dawning.
Daisha Hoskin, also known as Daisy, is a Minneapolis dance choreographer and multifaceted artist. Her team consists of production and editing by Project K and backup vocalists Mal and Olivia in We Are the Rising Sun, which you just heard, following an a cappella solo to We Shall Be Known.
Got a shop, studio,
food truck, or side hustle with soul? KFAI loves small businesses that keep the Twin Cities vibrant. Underwriting with us gets your name out to listeners who care about showing up, buying local, and spreading the word.
Underwriting with KFAI is not just support, it's connection. Let's grow something good together. Learn more at kfai.org/underwriting.
Growing good together is what this WAVE project has been about, Servitocracy. If you have questions, ideas, comments, suggestions, Servitocracy can be found at Substack. Here's Fela Anikulapokuti, very much in line with the program.
Thank you. recognize the word for sure, yes.
Open and get to see.
Because them get them meaning to.
Nice for down, nice for up.
Because them get them meaning to.
Africa, great,
but Africa, my house, I don't see communication.
lived in the little town of West Seattle on the other side of Puget Sound. Little tiny house, little bitty kitchen. He was a Norwegian immigrant, gave all of his life to the logging and to the union. He carried his red card in the union every working day of his life. We sat in that little kitchen and he told me the story of the Spokane Free Speech Fight, 1910. I would not attempt to duplicate that rumbling baritone voice or that Norwegian accent, but is the story the way he told it. He said, "Oh, they boomed into Spokane and towns all over the West, looking for work in the silver mines up in the Coeur d'Alene's or in the logging camps or in the wheat harvest, the 110 cats, the great wheat lands that flow away south of Spokane called the Palouse. Well, you jungle up in the flops, wait for the weather to break, and then you go down on the street on Trent Avenue, and there were these rows of little shops called labor sharks. Well, labor sharks hold jobs. You give a labor shark $4 and it entitled you to a job, say putting down a new mine shaft up in the Coeur d'Alene's. Well, you'd boom up there to that job, burning up your road stake as you went. You get up there, work a month, get paid, and then fired. Why? Because the foreman on the job was splitting the labor fees with the shark in town. But crooked as hell, they called it perpetual motion, where you had one job, one worker going to the job, one worker on the job, one worker coming back to buy another damn job. Well, he said that the union, the Wobblies, IWW, they came into those towns all over the West in Spokane and to build union hiring halls to control the conditions of their labor. Well, the one in Missoula, Montana was burned down. The one in Spokane was torn down by the law. So the Wobblies went down on the street and they put up soap boxes and they get up on the soap box and start windmilling, street speaking, exhorting. And they'd always set up right across the street from the Starvation Army. Me over there Bible banging and Jesus preached and telling these working folks that to give what they had to Jesus to get pie in the sky by and by. My, that's a lie. Well, they were good at it. People flocked across the street to join a fighting union, which offers a more immediate form of salvation than the standard garden variety. Scared the tar out of the city and out of the bosses, so they passed an ordinance against free speech, against speaking openly on the street. Applied to everybody except the Salvation Army. Now, that's intolerable. We all know that the state can't give you free speech, and the state can't take it away. You're born with it, like your eyes, like your ears. Huh? We all understand that. Like old Campbell said, freedom is something you assume. Then you wait for somebody to try to take it away from you. The degree to which you resist is the degree to which you are free. So they said, okay, we're going to resist. They sent out a call to anybody cut loose from a job in the whole territory. They flooded into town on the freight trains, filled it up, put that soapbox up on Trent Avenue in defiance of the law. Built a line four blocks down and four blocks up, and every one of those booming workers took their turn up on that soapbox. Had time enough to say, "Fellow workers," and they got arrested. Well, that was the idea, of course, to fill the jails. The Finnish workers, they were the tough ones. The Finnish immigrants were socialists when they got here. The Finnish worker learned enough English to be able to say, "Fellow workers," and if the cop wasn't right there, say, "Where's that damn cop?" Well, they filled the city jail, filled the county jail, filled the sports arena, all the high school gyms, grade school gyms. Every square inch of public space was full of busted boomers. But then the city had to feed them. The tax burden was enormous. And the taxpayers balked and said, "We're not going to spend our hard-earned loot to feed that bunch of grimy grifters down in the slammer." So they had to change the ordinance. And they won. And it didn't take any ballot boxes, and it didn't take any political parties. It's called direct action, and comes to us highly recommended.
That's Utah Phillips, with Ani DeFranco doing the music and pulling the musicians together in the production. Rest in peace, Utah Phillips. That's from their 1999 collaboration.